New World Screwworm. It's not a new disease. It's been around, but it hasn't been something that's been on our radar for over a year or so, just because it normally was coming up through Mexico, and it was not in Mexico for that long period of time. And now it's kind of resurfaced. And so we've been watching it, monitoring it, and trying to make sure we take all these steps to make sure it doesn't get to the U.S. Really, I look at New World Screwworm as just kind of the most recent reminder of the ongoing pressures that we face of diseases that could be trade or commerce limiting, that are always kind of outside our borders, that that we can't predict what the next threat's going to be, but we know they're all there. And so that's why just general preparation is always good, and it's always good to stay diligent.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com. Ralco, proven science, practical results.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt podcast. My name is Dr. Clayton Johnson. I'm the host of the podcast, and joining me in our podcast studios for this week's recording is Dr. Brent Pepin. Dr. Pepin is a swine veterinarian who currently serves as the director of swine health with the National Pork Board. Brent, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I know you've done some podcasts here with our group of podcasts before, but just in case there's some folks out there that haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, why don't you start with an introduction for the audience?
Hey, thanks for having me, Clayton. Yes, my name's Dr. Brent Pepin, veterinarian for the National Pork Board now. Previously, I was in private practice with Pipestone, before that, Postville, and I spent a little bit of year, and I also spent a little bit of hiatus with the biotech industry doing some swine gene editing research type projects, and then happy to be back in the commercial swine industry now with the National Pork Board.
We're very glad to have you, and you've got a role that's pretty all-encompassing, Brent. I have to imagine you get involved in all sorts of disease challenges, both the current ones we're dealing with right now, and then also the ones that we don't want to have to deal with, but that potentially we could have to. And you're here today to talk to us a little bit about foreign animal disease preparation, and in particular, this new challenge we've been hearing about, New World Screwworm. You want to talk a little bit about, you know, New World Screwworm? Perhaps maybe some folks have heard the term but don't exactly know what it is. Kind of give us a high-level overview of what it is and why pork producers should be aware of it.
Yeah, so New World Screwworm, it's not a new disease. It's been around, but it hasn't been something that's been on our radar for over a year or so, just because it normally was coming up through Mexico, and it was not in Mexico for that long period of time. And now it's kind of resurfaced. And so we've been watching it, monitoring it, and trying to make sure we take all these steps to make sure it doesn't get to the U.S. Really, I look at New World Screwworm as just kind of the most recent reminder of the ongoing pressures that we face of diseases that could be trade or commerce limiting, that are always kind of outside our borders, that that we can't predict what the next threat's going to be, but we know they're all there. And so that's why just general preparation is always good, and it's always good to stay diligent.
We've spent a lot of time as an industry preparing for those trade and market access restricting concerns. Knock on wood, you know, we haven't had to put those plans into place so far, but the risk is always out there. You want to talk to us a little bit, Brent, about what the plan would be for New World Screwworm as we understand it. You know, if we did have it come in the U.S., whether it's in pigs or in other species, but not in pigs yet, what do we know about what the action plan would be for New World Screwworm?
Yeah, so the USDA actually released a green book for a disease response strategy specific to New World Screwworm. An infection with New World Screwworm is called miasis. It's a hard word for me to say, but because the way New World Screwworm differs from African swine fever is that New World Screwworm would be an infestation, because it's a parasite and not so much of an infection as it would be with a virus like ASF. However, the nice thing about foreign animal disease prep is that if you prepare for one, it does help us prepare for others, even if they are not the exact same thing. Like in this case, being a parasite versus the virus. You know, if we have a break of or an infestation of New World Screwworm in the U.S., some of the base control or some of the core concepts of how we're going to respond are going to be the same as if they were for ASF. And if you want to look up that book, it's a simple Google search. If you type in USDA New World Schoolworm response. It'll probably be one of the first links that come up, so everyone can read through that book and how the USDA and APHIS plans to approach New World Schoolworm. But some of the core concepts that we've already done with ASF, for everybody that's probably very familiar with that, we get a break, we're going to detect and try to control and contain the disease as quickly as possible. Where the next step is, we're going to want to try to eradicate that disease using strategies that are going to protect public health and the environment, but also stabilize agriculture and food supply. And then the goal is always to use what's science-based, risk-based approaches we have to facilitate getting back to continuation of business for all our non-infected, or in this case, infested animals. So we continue to have business and continue to operate while we're working on getting the disease out of our country. And New World Schoolworm, it's slightly different. It's like ASF is a pig disease. It's something we're about in pigs. It doesn't affect other species. New World Schoolworm is different because it can affect pretty much any warm-blooded animal. And the biggest threat is cattle, mostly because they end up being raised more outdoors. They have little more chances for a little more open wounds, which the New World Schoolworm needs to get into to cause infestation. But pigs, even though they're less of a concern, pigs can still get infested, especially if they're in the proximity of cattle, which a lot of our pig farms are. They, even though they're not the highest risk, they are still a risk, and they can get infested. So it's something we do need to be aware about, and something we do need to continue to watch.
With a pig, as I understand it, the clinical signs of the infestation are going to be, I don't want to say like wildly obvious. I don't want to give anybody the false insecurity that the pig's going to hold its hand up and say, I have worm, but the clinical signs are impressive. That's probably the right way to describe it, right? It'd be something that you would visually observe in the pig, we would think.
Yeah. And I think just kind of like with ASF too, I mean, even though that once you get a clear infection or infestation, yes, it's going to be obvious that, oh, we have something going on here. But in those early stages, you might miss it if you're not paying attention. Just because you may not be, it needs an open wound to get in there to make the signs the most obvious. And you may not see that one pig that has the open wound that got that first, that first infestation. So, but yes, it's different from other diseases because it's going to be something on the outside. It's going to be in the skin. You're going to be able to see maggots in there. But still something that if you're not diligent, just like with any other foreign animal disease or any disease that you're dealing with, if you're not diligent, you might miss it early in that early infection or infestation phase.
And it probably wouldn't spread like wildfire. It wouldn't be a situation where, okay, we see one pig infested today, and then the next day we walk in and all the pigs in the barn are infested. So producers need to be diligent about looking at the individual pig. And if the individual pig looks infected, it could be a situation where that's the only pig that had an open wound, and that's the only pig that really is infested at that point in time.
Potentially. I think that's going to be really hard to predict. We just don't know for sure how it's going to spread. And we're probably not aware how many open wounds we actually have on animals in general. It doesn't take, and I forget what the actual metric is, but it can be a wound that you can't even visibly see. Okay. I think somewhere they say the size of a tick bite is enough for a fly to get in there and lay eggs. So that's a really small area of opportunity. And then mucous membranes are also a potential risk too, which means getting into the nasal cavities or into other mucous membrane cavities, also a risk of infection. So we haven't seen it a lot in commercial pigs, so I don't know if we can really predict exactly what it's going to look like in an outbreak. But again, I think that's why we got to stay diligent. We want to catch it early and stop before it goes further.
Our ability to eliminate it is pretty directly correlated with how fast we catch it. So that early detection is really important, right?
Yeah. And I think that always goes back to the importance of traceability and of being able to trace back any disease as quick as we can. And that's something that's going to overlap no matter what the foreign animal disease is or the trade living disease might be. And I think you've probably seen that even with your endemic diseases. If you're going to stop that spread, you want to be able to find it quickly and right away so you can look to see if it's gone downstream or even how it got to your site. And the more time that lapsed between that, the harder that trace back gets.
With this situation where cattle are potentially the first animals to get it, and a lot of our pig farms are located in pretty close proximity to cattle farms, how does that play out for us as pig producers, Brent? I mean, if it gets in the cattle population, we don't have to worry about it because it's in cows but not pigs, so no big deal. Or is there a situation where we could get into cattle and I, as a pig producer, even if it's not in pigs yet, it changes my life in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah, I mean, if we get a diagnosis of New World Screwworm, and same thing as if we get a diagnosis of ASF, they're going to have to establish a controlled area around that infected site. Anything in that controlled area, movements are going to be impacted. And even if it was ASF, cattle movements potentially also going to be impacted, even though they're not going to be able to get infected for it. New World Screwworm is a different deal because it can infect both. So it's going to be impacted. We may not know exactly the full details on how that impact is going to work, but again, we go back to what we know and what we can control and what we know we have to do to prepare. And so similarities between ASF and New World Screwworm, along with other forms of disease, it gets diagnosed, control area is going to be established, that infected site or infected multiple sites, if there's multiple, are going to be quarantined. We know there's going to be some room with restrictions while they work through that. And then, of course, we know there's going to be, like we already mentioned, that trace back. So using programs, especially from the pig side, using programs like AgView, keeping your secure pork supply plan up to date, being ready to incorporate that enhanced biosecurity plan from that, reviewing that plan, I think is something that gets overlooked sometimes. It's always important to review it and make sure that there have been changes to your farm that either you have to account for or that you can improve further. And the next thing we know about biosecurity and secure pork supply is that, yes, we're doing it to go through that for foreign disease, but it's also going to help us with our endemic disease with our basic biosecurity practices there.
Salmonella presents significant challenges to pig health and performance and poses food safety risks to humans. As the first and only vaccine offering live attenuated strains of both Salmonella cholera suis and Typhimurium, Enterasol Salmonella TC from Boehringer Ingelheim protects pigs against both serotypes with a single oral dose. Talk to your Boehringer Ingelheim representative to learn more.
And I know it's easy for producers and everybody to get, you know, foreign animal disease fatigue. We've talked about it for the better part of a decade now as it relates to ASF concerns. And fortunately, haven't had to use the ASF plan. But the reality is, if there's a producer out there, a veterinarian, you know, anybody who is not familiar with AgView, not familiar with secure pork, now's the time to get yourself familiar with those things and get involved in those programs, because you don't want to be in line behind everybody else the day we have to be in those programs and you're not already in them. So getting in them ahead of time is really, really, really important. Fair?
Oh, absolutely. You don't want to be behind the eight ball and getting your AgView account set up for the first time. You want to be there. You want to be having those electronic animal movement records. You want to have a secure short supply ready to go. So if it is asked for, whether or not it's asked for by your state vet, if you're moving pigs across state lines, that state may be asking for it. So it's just easier to have it all ready, ready to go and sitting there so you can pull it off the shelf and enact it or review it whenever these things come up. And kind of like I said before, we have no idea what the next threat might be to our borders, what the next pressing threat. So it's just good to be prepared. And then, yeah, I get it. Fatigue is real. Thankfully, we have that implement those practices for ASF. But the nice thing we've seen New World Screwworm come up is, again, like we covered, there's a lot of similarities between what that response is going to look like. So if we were diligent with ASF, we're going to be a step ahead of the game when I'm preparing for New World Screwworm and any foreign animal disease that may come in.
You guys at National Pork Board do an amazing job of organizing information for producers. I'm assuming you got websites set up that contain information about secure pork supply, about AgView, about all the sort of foreign animal disease prep stuff producers should be aware of. Any specific resources you want to call out to make people aware of?
Yeah, well, of course, porkcheckoff.com. Everything can be found through there. FADready.org is another tool that is available that it just kind of walks you through the whole preparation process for a foreign animal disease. So if you are completely starting from square one, that's a good place to go to first. It'll walk you through the process. secure pork supply. SPS has its own website as well. Again, you can find that through, you can find it through a simple Google search, or you can find it through the Checkoff website. And that is in the process of actually being re-updated right now. Dr. Meredith Peterson's leading that charge. She's actually having an advisory group meeting going on right now as we're on this podcast together. So I'll be looking forward to those updates and seeing how they apply to your current secure pork supply plan as that rolls out here in 2026.
Great work being done by you and your team, Brent. Really appreciate all the work you're doing and appreciate you coming on and sharing that with the audience.
Thank you, Clayton. It's always good to hear. I'm glad you let me come on today.
Yeah, well, we'll have you back on anytime. Hopefully not to talk about the response, but to keep talking about preparedness.
Yes, let's stay in the preparedness area if we can.
There you go. Well, Brent, thanks for coming on the show. We should thank our audience. Thanks to everybody out there who's listening to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast. To the audience, if you haven't checked out our website, please go check it out, swinehealthblackbelt.com. You can find this episode with Dr. Brent, as well as all of our historic episodes. For Dr. Brent Pepin, I'm Dr. Clayton Johnson. It's been a pleasure to chat with you today, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.